Let's have our reading from Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And we'll read into chapter 12. But Genesis chapter 11, and from verse 27. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife. And they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 8 to 10 say, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would afterwards receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Amen. May the Lord bless his word. It's not surprising to find Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11 being commended for his faith. He's maybe the greatest personality in the Bible. And looking at it from a human point of view, one has said that Abraham and Sarah ultimately gave to the world the Jewish nation, the Bible, and the Savior. Where would we be today if Abraham and Sarah had not trusted God? And you know something, being a Christian in the 21st century, we have a link with Abraham. Our natural descent stems from Adam, but our spiritual descent stems from Abraham. Romans 4 verse 16 says, "The faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Verse 11 of Romans 4 says that he is the father of all who believe. So in a sense, Abraham is our spiritual father. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." Verse 9 says, "So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." And verse 29 says, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, or Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise." So we share something with Abraham, and we enter into something with Abraham. If you're Christ's, that's the condition. If you're Christ's, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So we don't say, "Well, I'm not from a Jewish background. I was born a Protestant, or I was born a Roman Catholic, or whatever, but I have become a Christian. I have been born again." It means that we are of the seed of Abraham. And we've entered into the promises that Abraham was given. Abraham is commended twice in Hebrews chapter 11, really along with Moses. In verse 8, by faith Abraham. And verse 17, by faith Abraham. It is said of Moses in verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses. And really even verse 28, although he's not mentioned by name, by faith he kept the Passover. The faith of these people while they lived. And we noticed that in the first sermon. They lived by faith. But we cannot forget verse 13. These all died in faith. They died as they lived. They didn't make a last minute change in their life. They were consistent. They were prepared. They were ready to go. It's a great way to live, to have that assurance. Now, there are certain things that we must notice about these verses, verses 8 to 10 of Abraham this morning. And we must bring in other scriptures that are not here. It's like making a jigsaw puzzle. You get a box of all the pieces. You lift one piece, you can't make head or tail of it. But you know that it's going to fit onto some other piece. And the more you fit together, you see the picture clearer. And that's the way it is with Abraham. And the first thing that we must notice about Abraham is Abraham's geography. It says in chapter 11 and verse 31, we have three places that's mentioned here. That Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. So you can see the three places that are mentioned: Ur, then they came to Haran, then they were to progress on to Canaan. That's the first mention of Canaan, of the land of Canaan in the Bible. But it says that when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now, Abraham was not meant to settle in Haran. He was to go on to Canaan. What type of place did Abraham leave? What was Ur of the Chaldeans like? there has been archaeological digs in Ur, famous excavations, and these took place in and around 1854, 1919, just after the First World War, and 1922 to 1934. And there were great excavations in Ur. And it was a most prominent city 3,000 years BC, a very busy commercial centre. It covered 4 square miles. It had a population, an estimated population, of around 300,000 people. Abraham would have been educated in mathematics, astronomy, weaving, and engraving. Now, he mightn't have known the skills in all four of those things, but that is what Ur of the Chaldeans was well known for. It was also polytheistic, and that means that they worshipped many gods, their chief deity being a moon god called Nannar. So we begin to see something of Abraham's background. He is described for us as a man of faith, but he wasn't always that. He was a pagan. And that leads us on to Abraham's idolatry. And here we see another piece of the jigsaw, what he was like. In Joshua chapter 24 and verses 2 and 3, it says this: "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods.'" So there's a wee indication of Abraham's religion. They served other gods. "Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac." So Abraham was in sin. Abraham was in darkness. But when you come to Acts chapter 7, again, another piece of jigsaw where the story and the picture of Abraham's concerned. Acts chapter 7, before Stephen begins his history lesson, just before he died, pointing out certain things of history, he says in Acts chapter 7, verse 2, "And Stephen said, 'Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, "Go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you." Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran." And that's what Genesis covers. But Genesis 11 doesn't tell us about God's appearance to Abraham in whatever form that took. We don't know. But this is where you lift Acts chapter 7 and verses 2 to 5 and just put them in Genesis chapter 11. That family was on the move because God had spoken to Abraham to move from Ur of the Chaldeans. And you can see that he spoke, that he appeared to Abraham before he lived in Haran. But we read in Genesis that they came to Haran and they settled there. Now, they weren't meant to settle there. Certainly, Abraham wasn't meant to settle there. Abraham was meant to go on, which he did. after the death of his father, he moved on. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran, and after his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length. Now Stephen's only the one to mention that. Abraham owned nothing in the land of Canaan, not even, I don't know what size of a shoe Abraham would have had. A size 8, a size 9, a size 10, an average size of a man's shoe. Not even the stamp that shoe made. Or it was probably a sandal. Abraham didn't even own that. Initially. And yet God said to him, Abraham, can you see all the land? That's what you're going to have. But initially he didn't even have what would have covered a foot of his. He gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, though he had no child. And we read in Genesis chapter 11, that there were births taking place. There were deaths taking place. But we read in verse 30, now Sarai was barren, she had no child. It seems that Abraham and Sarah were the only couple that weren't able to have a family. And yet God had come and promised him that you're going to possess the land of Canaan, or your seed is going to inherit the land of Canaan. The God of glory appeared to Abraham. Abraham was in pagan darkness. Abraham knew nothing about the true God. The God of glory appeared to Abraham. Changed his life. Another piece of the jigsaw, Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. Now there was Abraham's father. There were others. But it says here, he was but one when I called him. The God of glory appeared to Abraham. And one has said, what marvelous grace. The God of glory condescended to draw near and reveal himself unto one that was sunk in sin, immersed in idolatry, having no concern for the divine honor. There was nothing in Abraham to deserve God's notice, still less to merit his esteem. God sought Abraham. It wasn't the other way about. And that's the way it is with salvation. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to show you that you're lost. He came to seek you. He takes the initiative. So this is the background of these verses in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And that leads us on to Abraham's testimony, his geography, his idolatry, his testimony. And these are well-known words in Hebrews chapter 11, that he went out not knowing where he was going. The uncertainty of it all. Venturing into the unknown. But yet it says that he was called to go out to a place. We knew that it was Canaan. Genesis 12 verse 4 says Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. There's now and again that we read of the ages of Abraham. And I think they're relevant. He was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. When he had settled there, he had uprooted. And that causes inconvenience when you're moving house and moving country, doesn't it? And Abraham experienced that. He left Ur. He came to Haran. He settled in Haran. And now he had to do it all over again and leave Haran and head to Canaan, not knowing where he was going. And we read that he was 75 years of age when he did it. And chapter 25 and verse 7 of Genesis tells us he was 175 years old when he died. So almost half of his life was lived before God called him. And we can say that God called him when Abraham had almost reached the middle of his life. God didn't call him when he was a young man. He called him when he was 75 years of age. Now, Abraham could have made excuses. Abraham could have said, I'm set in my ways. I'm too old to change. I've lived here all my life. How can I uproot now and go and live somewhere else? God called him, and Abraham obeyed that call. And when the Lord calls you to salvation, obey. And it's like the Christian life is stretched out before you with all its uncertainty. You don't know where that profession will take you. And Christian, if the Lord lays something upon your heart to serve him, again, you don't know where that will take you. But it's God who's leading the way. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Oh, he knew it was Canaan all right, but he didn't know when. He didn't know the hows, and you know, how was he going to get there? He didn't know what detours there might be. He didn't know the company that might go with him. It was an adventure. And the Christian life is an adventure with God. There isn't a sense that we can apply this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Those words are helpful to you and me. The full stop doesn't come after out, and he went out. There's only a comma there, not knowing where he was going. But he knew that God knew. And he put his hand into the hand of God, and he went out. He went on with God. But this is telling us something here too, that he did something with his faith. Abraham obeyed. His faith led to action. He went out not knowing where he was going. He did something with his faith. And if you claim to have faith, you've got to be seen to be doing something with it. John Wesley used to talk about reckless faith, having a reckless faith. Faith in action. Abraham's testimony. These few verses, of course, verses 8 to 10, and when we come to verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, and that covers Genesis chapter 22, the great event there. But these verses are covering years of Abraham's life that's covered in many chapters of the book of Genesis. But we see Abraham's legacy in verses 9 and 10. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Now you've got to be careful here. It doesn't mean that the three of them were in the same tent and one happy family. When Abraham died, Jacob wasn't even born. Abraham never knew Jacob. Jacob never knew Abraham. But yet in Hebrews chapter 11, we're reading this verse, that they are united in some way, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob. And the reason why Jacob is united with Abraham in that sense, he was an heir with him of the same promise. But sure, Galatians is telling us the same. Galatians 3 and verse 29, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. As a Christian, I am an heir with Abraham. I am an heir with Isaac. I am an heir with Jacob of the promises of God. Abraham has left a legacy. Abraham was an influence on Isaac and future generations right down to the present day, and always will be. And this is what unites God's people together over the centuries. We're heirs. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. But Jacob wasn't even born when Abraham died. But we see also Abraham's certainty. It says in verse 9 that he lived in tents. Nothing very strong about a tent. No foundation to a tent. A tent is not a solid structure, as we all know. But the man who lived in a tent had his sights on a city. There's something solid about a city. Verse 10 says, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now this is no earthly city. This can only be heaven. He was looking forward to that city. And Hebrews mentions this city a few times. Even in this block of verses from verses 13 to 16. Because next week we'll be considering Sarah in verse 11, by faith Sarah. And then we'll come back to Abraham in verse 17, by faith Abraham. But it says in verses 13 to 16, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, they didn't belong to this world system. They had been saved. They had been delivered out of this world's system. They were living different lives. They were living contrary to this world. And what they did back then, 3000 BC or thereabouts, we're to do the same today. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. Abraham had left Ur of the Chaldees. If he was constantly dwelling upon Ur of the Chaldees and regretting that he had left his homeland, well, he could have gone back. But Abraham was going on to a land that God had promised to give, but which is really a parable of that greater land awaiting God's people. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. There's the city mentioned again. So Abraham lived his life by faith. Christians today live their lives by faith. We look forward to the same thing that he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. There has nothing changed in that respect. We look forward to the same thing. We are united with Abraham in this way. Chapter 13 and verse 14 says of Hebrews, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." Some of the cities of this world have been around a long time. Some have great histories. They're not lasting. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Heaven is described as a city. It's described as a country. They desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. And this is Abraham this morning. His geography, his idolatry, his background, but his testimony of God's call in his life, his legacy, his certainty. Faith in Christ gives you that certainty. Even though in life there are things ahead and there's much uncertainty, but yet we can be certain of this. Abraham lived in a tent. He was a very wealthy man. He was nomadic. He traveled. But that was not going to be his permanent residence. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. That city will not be destroyed. That city will be populated by God's people, because we are talking about heaven here. And may we have the faith of Abraham that looks towards heaven and looks forward to heaven. Now we'll come back to Abraham. And even through Sarah, we see them as a couple.